Cloud of Witnesses, written in his distinctive style. Go to the online store at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess today, here to help you with your personal problems. So call. Here's the number. Toll free, 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to get on today's show. My name is Colleen Kelly Mast, and I'm just here to help you. I'm the author of Love and Life and Sex Respect, two sets of workbooks, and with parents' guides on chastity and abstinence and character growth and personal development, emotional maturity, all sorts of good things, so that the teenagers in your life don't have to grow up messed up, that they can learn from the beginning as we're instructing them about life and about love and about sexuality. That there are a lot of things involved. There are emotions, our talents and skills, our ability to resist temptation, the goodness of our relationships, our understanding of what real love is. So if you want to help some young people learn the truth about love and sexuality, go to my website at sexrespect.com or respectincorporated.com. There's lots of good stuff there, too. Those character and virtue songs for your preschoolers are there still. And for your 10 to 12-year-olds, what to tell your preteen about chastity to prepare them for the talk later on. Just those basic things you need to know when you're 10. And also all the names of the different talks that I give. And I can come to your parish or your school or your organization, your pro-life group, and give a keynote address or give educational talks or inspirational talks or motivational talks. Or parent and teen talks, or parent and preteen talks, and all that's available at my website at sexrespect.com. And I was just on a show in one of our local cities. I was on in Philadelphia at Holy Spirit Radio this morning talking about the spiritual spa that I'll be giving there. It's a ladies' retreat we'll be having in Philadelphia. Hey, it might be worth flying over if you're somewhere else. It'll be October 16th. I'm sorry. It's Saturday, October 16th from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And I'll give a lot of my talks there. But it's a day for ladies to fill up with God, to relax and take care of yourselves. How ladies would go to the spa for physical things. We'll go to a different kind of spa for spiritual things. But, you know, there's going to be a massage therapist there anyway, just for the neck and back chair massage. So it'll be a wonderful day, fun. So anybody in the Philadelphia area or nearby there, make sure that you can contact me through my website. And I think today is their last day for registering if you want lunch reserve. So that's in Philadelphia, a spiritual spa, October 16th. Oh, if anybody's out there listening who is in Philadelphia and wants to give out the number, you can call in too. But I want to talk a little bit today about stress. It seems like when we get, a couple months into the school year, and we're, 6 weeks into it now. I know I talked to one of my girlfriends the other day, and she's got four children, and she's running around like a maniac, drops one off at football, the next one at dancing, and then I forgot to get me supper for my husband. And sometimes our schedules create a lot of stress, and we need to look at different ways that we can manage stress, rooted in our faith as well as just rooted in our person, what we do have control over and we don't have control over. You know, everybody has those days sometimes where nothing's going right. You know, the kids are wound up really tight. You know, maybe work is crazy. People are being mean to you. And, you know, the day's not even half over yet. And some of you are probably sitting there saying, oh, that's today. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on out there to stress us out. Just when I open my email and there's 1,000 unanswered emails. It seems like there's more and more stress every day. You've got to, eat right and exercise and, take care of the children and try to earn some money and pay your bills and get to church and make sure you put God first. And sometimes we have him on the list of things to do rather than putting God first and really giving our day to him. So it's easy to let our stress get out of control because there's something going on every day anyway. You know, with the appointments you have to keep, the bills to pay, some people you have to keep happy or keep them unhappy. And we just sometimes need that time to relax, hang out with our family or friends, hopefully have dinner together at the kitchen table together, and try to pray together as a family in the morning, even though it's a little hectic sometimes. What if you just took 2 or 3 or 5 minutes and prayed a morning offering or a decade of the rosary together, prayed for each other's intentions, and then maybe 5 or 10 minutes before bed as well would be just a good way to realize that our family is here for us. We come together and we ask God to bless what we're doing so we don't have to let our stress get out of control where it raises our blood pressure, our heartbeats faster, we're breathing faster, you know, and our reaction time quickens. All those are things that we need that help us rise to the challenge, you know, when we have to rise to some, you know, with that fight or flight syndrome. But stress gets bad when you can't turn it off. You know, chronic stress, you know, it can be harmful to your health, whether it's mental stress or physical stress, either one. So we don't want to harm our health. So some people thrive on stress and some fall apart. So what's your constitution? What can we do to be able to increase our stress tolerance? Well, first is our faith. Trusting in God. As crazy as life looks, he still is in charge of everything. Yeah, we make some mistakes and so do other people, but ultimately, God is the one in charge. We need to lean on him, depend on him, seek comfort in him, and let him, he wants to take our problems from us. Let him take control. Let him drive the car or ride the bike, and you get in the back seat and maybe quit telling God what to do. Really trust in him. Such a hard thing for certain temperaments or personalities that have a lot of good skills and, you know, have their lives under control in a lot of ways. But then something happens that stresses us out too much. And that might be that chance that we need to turn to God. To turn to him and trust in him. Another thing that will help our stress level is our relationships. You know, if we have a good support system, you know, we have a good relationship with our spouse that we've been working on, or a good friend or a parent or a child or cousin or sister or family member. When we've got somebody else, you know, we can turn to rather than just, you know, keep everything to ourselves and nobody to share with. You know, that helps our stress as well. Another thing that helps our stress is our self-confidence, that, you know, you're not questioning yourself all the time. So those are some of the things, as well as, you know, a positive outlook and handling your emotions. Lots of things that can help us relieve the stress or deal with the stress a little bit better. But if it's too much for you right now, give me a call. I'm here to help you with your questions or personal problems as you're trying to live out your faith. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on The Doctor Is In. And the number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Relax. The doctor is in.
Living Your Faith. I'm Jane Hansen with a message from the Order of Malta, a 900-year-old worldwide association of lay men and women dedicated to caring for those in need. A 30-year study done by Cornell University sociologist Phyllis Mohn showed that women who volunteered in churches, clubs, civic groups, and schools reported good health and high self-esteem. They described their lives as meaningful, and their outlook was more optimistic than most of their peers. However, 52% of women who never volunteered suffered at least one major illness in those 30 years, showed less self-esteem, and said they were unsatisfied with their lives. Even worse, one-third of them died in their 50s. It seems that people who volunteer at least 2 hours a week show significant reductions in their stress levels. Why not make a difference for others as well as for yourself by volunteering? It could do you a world of good. To learn more about the Knights and Dames of Malta, visit our website, maltausa.org.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. The Feast of St. Gerard Majella is approaching. He is the patron saint of pregnant mothers, of childbirth, and of unborn children. Priests for Life invites you to join a special novena in his honor. At the priestsforlife.org website, you can download a prayer to St. Gerard and give to us any prayer intentions you have for couples who are seeking to conceive a child, or for women having difficult pregnancies, for those who have lost children, or who have a special prayer intention for their living children. All of our priests will remember those intentions during this novena leading up to St. Gerard's feast day, October 16th. Many miracles have been worked through the intercession of St. Gerard, especially in regard to pregnancy and childbirth. Please join the St. Gerard Majella Novena at priestsforlife.org. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Welcome to The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Master, hostess today. Here to help you with your personal problems, give me a call at 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number. Emily from Tacoma, Washington. Welcome to the show. Emily, how can I help you today?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling about my great-grandson. My daughter, she's the grandmother, and she takes care of him. His mother works, but he's been saying some bad words. And, you know, his mother keeps saying, don't say that, don't say that. And, you know, he thinks it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering what we can do about this.
Right.
Learned it from the babysitter.
Yeah, I know.
And was the person who was taking care of him for a couple of weeks, I think they were using some bad language.
Right. What we learn from socialization.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I know it worked for my mom. She used to wash our mouth out with soap.
Yeah, but now they'll say that's child abuse.
Right, exactly. They would. So we need a serious response that is a punishment. So when you say don't say that to a three-year-old, it's not comprehending at all because they haven't reached the age of reason. They need a consequence that lets them know that we cannot do that anymore. So it's not don't say that isn't strong enough, either the way that they're looking at him or the way that they're...
You know, he runs around and laughs. He doesn't even know what she's telling him, probably.
Right, exactly, because he's three.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know that that's bad. So if what our moms used to use isn't usable anymore, she needs to give him a serious reprimand, not just say, don't say that. She needs to get down to his level or get him up to her level, look him in the eyes very seriously and with anger. She can say, it's not just a sweet, don't say that. She looks at him and say, we don't say that word anymore. And then give him a punishment. He needs to sit out, go back to, sent off to his timeout place if he has a little playpen or somewhere where he can go that he can't climb out. He needs to know that is punishable.
I'm everywhere, but I said maybe take his toy away or lock his toys up, you know, put him in a room or something.
He's not going to relate that to it. He really won't because he's three. Oh. I mean, you got to remember, if he was six maybe or five, but three, he's not going to correlate toy to saying a bad word. There needs to be a firm reprimand and a removal from the situation and express serious dislike or anger at that. But then you calm down while he suffers the punishment.
Okay, I'll tell them that. They're both the mother and the grandmother have to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm, right, and being consistent always helps. And then you can, after the punishment is over, whether it's a 1 minute or 2 minute out, then tell them what you do say instead. And then you can make a game of it, make fun. If he wants to say, I know there was one family that the dad used to say a certain toilet word, and the whole family, every time he would start saying it, they'd all say, shish kebab. And they would just laugh and say, shish kebab, shish kebab. And and so you can...
Or kissy doodle or something cute like that.
You can say something different. Say, this is what we do say. We don't say that. That's a bad word. Every time you say it, you're going to be consistently punished. But let's say this word instead, because he doesn't know. He just knows, hey, that gets a reaction from mom. But if he says a fun word... And it gets a reaction, and y'all start singing and having a good time. He's going to want to say that a lot more.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Emily. God bless. And good. Better to start it young than when he's 16 and starts coming home saying those words, and you have to say, that just doesn't work in our house. This is The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Carolyn from New Jersey, welcome to the show. How can I help you today, Carolyn?
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call and for all the work that you do. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, you can speak up a little bit. You have a beautiful, soft voice.
Thank you. It's a little hard for me to talk about this. We've been married for a long time, and he's very quiet by nature. And it just seems to me that he's just gotten more and more shut down ever since his mother had passed away, and we loved her very much. And I just, sometimes I just don't know what else to do for him. I can't get him to, like, go out to do things socially. I mean, he functions very well, and he is very proud of his job, and rightly so for him. And then the other thing is we're sort of overshadowed by, we have married children and their in-laws, and we try to keep peace and not say anything, and one day I did, because the children, one of them wanted to be with their friends, and the other one wanted to stay, and then my child was upset with me because I said something. There's no balance here. We don't have any special time, so we're working through that, and I just feel that I just need advice on what to do.
Okay, with the in-laws, or with your own kids, so they can handle the in-laws?
Yeah, yes. Both, really.
Okay.
I kind of feel like we're pushed out to left field, and I'm the mommy, you know. I'm the mommy to the daughters, and it's hard. I can understand everybody wants to be with their children, and we just seem to be like we're, I guess, pushed aside sometimes, and I don't want to cause any problems within their own, marriage relationships. And,
right.
No, of course not, but I know the one got, kind of miffed at me because the grandchild didn't want to stay, and I guess I kind of felt so bad and so sad, and we were happy that she was going to stay, and I know the friends is a big thing for, elementary school child, and I just don't know what else to do sometimes, and I just feel like it just sounds sort of like sympathetic pity, but I don't mean that. I just feel it's just it's another, not a trauma, but I feel hurt all the time.
Rejected. You feel rejected.
Yeah, I feel hurt all the time, and I always try to keep we always try to make the extra effort. People say to me, you overextend too much, but I just feel so hurt, especially with my husband, because
you can't go to him for comfort because he's got his own issues going on. Okay, let's deal with these one at a time, Carolyn. First of all, the husband thing. And what do you think is the main cause of this going into himself more than before? Just the loss of his mother, you think?
That really was the catalyst.
And how long ago did that happen, Carolyn?
Almost 6 years.
Okay, that's a long time. All right, a couple things. One is... Be quiet with him. You know, if you're the first couple years of grieving, I wouldn't say six, that's kind of abnormal, but the first couple years of grieving, this is his mother though, and he was close to her. The first couple years of grieving, you just need somebody to just sit there and not say anything with you, just to shut down and be quiet with him. And just being there and not always, especially for a guy, not always nagging you, say something, they just need to be. So maybe increase what you can do during your time together that creates some unity between the two of you. Maybe watching a movie together that you both enjoy that's positive. Some old musical that he used to see that he was entertained by in the past, or some type of movie that he really likes. Or at the dinner table, bring some jokes that have to do with his particular profession. I know yesterday I just sent a bunch of accounting and economics jokes to my son in college who's studying that. And think of what you can do, maybe putting music on, you know, during dinner. What you can do just to make the atmosphere a little bit nice and a little more positive. So he isn't lost in negative thoughts or remorseful thoughts or thoughts of sadness. Help lift up his spirits in just very gentle ways without going overboard. And again, in gentle steps. Maybe, you know, if he doesn't want to go out and socialize, just ask him for something in the future, like 6 weeks from now, is it okay if we have this one couple over, somebody that you know? Or maybe if he doesn't want to be interactive, do some things that still would lift your spirits, like go to plays or go to a concert or go out and play tennis or do some things together that help you experience one another, spend some time together, but get his mind off of the grieving. And his mother's never going to come back, and the sadness isn't going to go away, but it'll be less when we fill it with joyful thoughts, and that'll help build your relationship with him, which is what you want to do, that he'll be creating memories with you that'll soon override the loss of the memories that he had from losing his mom. He's always going to have those memories, and they'll never go away, but he won't be missing her as much when he's filling his life up with good things. Then about the kids, the second. One thing you might want to do is just give it a month and just sit back and relax and wait for them to call you and see what happens. See if that turns the tables a little bit by just taking a 30-day hiatus from being involved with them and the in-laws and the grandchildren. And then after about a month, call them and say, you know, we've been really busy. We haven't seen you guys in a while. And then schedule a date for a couple weeks from them. You know, I wonder, you know, can, you know, the grandson come over? Or, you know, do you want to have dinner with us? Or invite them to something joint. You know, let's go to the pumpkin yard or something like that. And see if just giving it a break helps them and helps you. And then as for your feelings of, you know, being hurt and rejected, and those are legitimate feelings, and what are we going to do about them? Well, there are a couple of things we can do. One is turn it into the joy of giving. And by sharing that desire to be with your particular grandchildren, you know, maybe help an elderly neighbor or do something else for someone else. And that'll help fill your heart with love. And then realize that they do have a life. These other people are, you know, if they are a bit overbearing, as you say, once you've given them a break from you and requesting, you know, to be with them as much, and then they spend some time with you, it might be more satisfying of the time that you do spend together. So take those feelings, give those to our Lord, and say, Lord, you were rejected much more than this, wasn't he, when he was on the cross?
Yes.
And realize that we can offer that up for the sake of the relationships in our family, for the people that are most offensive to others, or just for our own or anyone else's salvation. So take those feelings, offer them up, let them, if you haven't called them in a month, they might be calling you, and see if that turns the tables a little bit. So rest a little bit in that, give it to God, enjoy some time on your own with your husband, and build that marriage relationship in the meantime when you're waiting to hear from the grandkids.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call. It's quite often in our families that we feel rejected for some reason or another. We feel hurt by people that don't really necessarily intend to hurt our feelings. So building relationships, turning our pain over to God, all that helps. We'll be back with more of The Doctor Is In after this message.
The new national health care bill recently passed cuts $531 billion out of Medicare over the next 10 years and reduces Medicare fees to doctors and hospitals by 30% over the next 3 years.
This will cost senior citizens thousands of dollars more for health care. If you would like to know about the changes and how they affect you, call AllChoice at 1-800-889-2659. This is an AllChoice client.
We have recommended a lot of our friends to go out to AllChoice. Every one of them have called us and thanked us for sending them there. It's really complicated and stressful, and they made it really easy. We walked out of there knowing what we were purchasing, total peace of mind that we did the right thing, and we still have people calling us, asking us, what's that guy's number?
Call 1-800-889-2659 to find out how these changes will affect you. AllChoice has one goal, to keep the cost of health insurance and prescriptions down for those on Medicare. Call AllChoice at 1-800-889-2659. You now have two great Detroit area locations for religious merchandise. There's A. Mutea Church Supply in Garden City and now G.A. Fuchs Church Supply in Madison Heights. Between the two stores, they offer the largest selection of religious merchandise in southern Michigan, with everything from statuary, rosaries, and crucifixes to a large inventory of books. If you need it for your religious group or services, they have it. A. Mutea and G.A. Fuchs Church Supply. Just choose the location closest to you. You'll find A. Mutea Church Supply on Ford Road, just east of Merriman Road in Garden City. If you'd like to call for more information, the number is 734-513-2950. Write it down, 734-513-2950. If you're closer to Madison Heights, you can stop at G.A. Fuchs Church Supply on Stevenson Highway, just south of 14 Mile Road, off I-75. You can call them at 248-589-0200. You'll want to write that one down, too. 248-589-0200. They look forward to serving you.
Back to the Doctor Is In, where you can get free friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess today, here to help you. 877-573-7825 is our toll-free number to get on today's show. I invite you to call. Our next caller is Terry from Missouri. Welcome to the show, Terry. How can I help you today?
Thank you. I have a mother-in-law, and she is continually asking me to take her to confession. She's 86. She's had 15 children. She's a very good woman. And I've taken her to confession many times over the last couple of years. She doesn't remember. She goes. And she really has a hard time in the confessional, just making a confession. Therefore, she thinks she hasn't gone for 20 years.
Oh, my.
So, like this past week, I took her on Tuesday, and she is in a wheelchair. So I found a confessional with that was wheelchair accessible, and I took her, and she came out, and she was thanking the priest, and then she said, but when I put her in the car, she said she felt like she didn't go. And I was just wondering if you had some suggestions on how I could help her.
Okay. How often does she end up? How often do you end up taking her, Terry?
Usually, I tell her once a month.
Okay.
So I've been taking her once a month.
Okay. All right. In her situation, that's fine. I mean, some people, they're in the midst of the intensity of life, need to go every 2 weeks. But once a month in her situation is fine. And so how can you help her? One, does she ever write down and bring her list into the confessional with her so she can feel better about having gone, knowing that she said the things that were on there and she can rip it up when she comes out? Sometimes that helps elderly people with memory problems. Has she ever tried that?
Yes. Actually, she had about 7 papers when I took her. Yeah, she has dementia. She's probably has Alzheimer's. She had many papers, and the priest said, put them away. You don't need them.
Okay.
That was the last time. And he was, I don't know.
Okay. Her sins probably fit on one page. You know, just tell her that she needs to just confess the biggest or the worst ones, if she's not committing a whole bunch of mortal sins, that her list of venial sins, she doesn't have to tell every single weakness that she has to the priest, but her main venial sins would be good. And how can you help her? Well, help her, when she examines her conscience, help her see that that her sinfulness is important to remove. I mean, that this is good, that she wants to go to confession. But is she aware at all that she doesn't remember that she went?
When I took her home that night, she was upset, or that afternoon. She was upset, and this is usually what she does. She calls me that evening and asks me to take her again, that she hasn't been in 20 years, and that... I said, I just took you, and she says, no.
Okay.
I haven't been, and, you know, she argues that she actually hasn't been. So mentally, really, I don't think she can go.
Right. So she might not be, she's not understanding what's going on at all, but she wants to go and feels a need to go. And the only thing about... believing she didn't go is that she just doesn't remember it. Well, what I would suggest...
Well, I think she remembers that she had an experience, but I don't think that she feels like she actually went to confession.
I know, but she received the grace. So one thing, first of all, there is some dementia medicine, you know. I'm not a big medicine person, but...
we tried it, yes. We've had her on several different times, and she chases bunnies around her house, and she's in a wheelchair, so she's... You know, this is scary stuff. You can't be on it.
All right, here's what you can do. You certainly are fulfilling your responsibility by bringing her to confession once a month. And your answers to her need to include that theology. If it's about feeling for her, like she felt she hasn't gone in 20 years, just say, we just went last week, or we just went 2 weeks ago, and God has forgiven you. Keep using those words.
Okay.
God has forgiven you. And then when she says she has to go again, and say, we are going to go, and then tell her what date you're going to go, and say that each, tell her when, you know, and be ready for it. But then remind her, just say each night, you know, when you say your acts of contrition, God will forgive your venial sins. And when you go to Mass and ask his forgiveness for that, he'll forgive your venial sins again. But we will go to confession to get those sacramental graces, you know, on, and then tell her what date. So be as positive as possible. Remind her continuously that God has forgiven her for everything that she has confessed. And then be cheerful and let her know what date she just went and when you'll be going again. And just be clear and kind and firm, and know that it's beautiful that she wants to go. She probably isn't responsible for many of the things that she's confessing, and you don't want to overburden the priest with that. But you do want her to receive the graces for all those things that she is aware of. Because when you're getting that old, you want to clean a soul as possible, because you never know when the last day is. So respect her in that, but keep it, you know, firm and clear and full of mercy in all your words.
Okay. And she's very, she cries a lot and acts, you know, as if she's despairing. And I've given her catechism, and I've marked that area, and I've gone over it with her and said, you know, this is a time to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right?
You're close to going home, which I do believe she is.
Right.
But she's just not at peace.
Okay.
And
do you have some Catholic tapes of different prayers or different songs that might help? Instead of, if she's got negative things spinning around in her mind, have some positive things spinning around in her mind. Some, you know, a CD player, good music, good spiritual uplifting things, so she can think she's in heaven now.
That's a good idea. I'll try that.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. This is The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Okay, Sally and Diane, call back. We've got some lines open waiting to hear from you. So those of you that waited a while before, we've got plenty of space for you. You can be right after Deb here. So our next caller is Deb from Nebraska. Welcome to the show, Deb. You've got a comment about some of the opening comments about praying and the benefits of that with the kids. Go ahead, Deb.
Yes, I've just found that in the mornings when it's so hectic and especially during the school year, I have always beat myself up over not being able to pray with the kids in the morning the way I would like to. And so it got to the point where I thought, okay, we're in the car for 10 minutes. I can use these 10 minutes. Mm. And it has changed our mornings drastically because we will be like, they will be running around arguing, you know, and it's, I've got, well, I have, let's see, how many? 6 left at home. And so with that many in the car, you know, and getting going, and my littlest one is 3, by the time we get into the car, I just say, okay, you know the drill, guys. So they're all quiet, and I turn off the radio, and I say, okay, we're going to do our one deck of the rosary, and we have 10 children, so I have one Hail Mary for each child.
Perfect.
That helps me keep track of the counting. And
track
I'm
of the kids,
you.
Too. Oh, that
yeah,
child.
And
we left him under his bed. We didn't do the 3rd Hail Mary.
That's right, exactly. But it's just great because by the time they get to school, you know, I'm ready for the Angel of God prayer, and they're out the door and they're happy, and I don't know, it just has changed my life. So I thought that's something that you can do that's so simple. You know,
yeah.
Just one decade, I used to try to get the whole rosary in, and you just can't, you
right.
know, sometimes with this big of a number.
Yeah,
so
when you've got to get the diapers and the socks and the
right,
food.
Right, exactly. And I think God has blessed us
he
a lot.
He loves the decade. He's real happy with that decade.
Yes, yes. So I figure, you know, my kids know their mysteries, and it's just, I don't know, I thought I would pass that on because that's just been really important to not beat yourself up over not getting that whole rosary and just get what you can in there, and God will really bless your family with that. So
a decade in the car on the way to school, and each child takes turns with the Hail Marys.
Yeah, they each get a Hail Mary. So
wonderful.
Anyway.
Great idea.
So I would just pass that on.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Prayer has changed their morning, so never think that it's not that you don't have time for prayer. I know during breakfast when my 3 big kids were little, we used to play this song, these old records, Hi, God, How Do You Feel Today? And that would be our opening when we were all sitting down for breakfast before our morning prayer. And actually, the big kids still sing that. They'll burst out in that every once in a while. So prayer can change your mornings, too. Thanks for that testimonial, Deb. This is The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective by calling 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. We're going to go to Diane, who I think was waiting earlier. Diane, welcome to the show. You're back on the air.
Yes, hello.
You're on the air now. Go ahead, Diane.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Thank you. I love your show.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you about reaching a healthy balance with your family who's not practicing the faith,
mm-hmm.
and I don't have a lot of judgment about that because I was away from the church for a good 20 years myself, and so I just feel very blessed
mm-hmm.
to be back. And my family is quite scattered geographically,
mm-hmm.
but we feel very close to each other, so I try to keep very positive things, but every once in a while I'm really surprised to hear something that a family member will say. For example, one of my sisters said, well, I'm not going to hell because I haven't killed anybody. And I mean, I don't even know how we got on the subject of hell.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just told her that, yes, hell really does exist.
mm-hmm.
But she didn't want to believe in purgatory. And I said, well, it's really not a choice to believe it or not. It's just, it is one of, you know, it does exist, and lots of mystics have visited and came back to report what they saw. And so I'm kind of surprised by the lack of understanding of some
mm-hmm.
of the main tenets of the faith. And so I'm absolutely sure that every single one of them will come back to the church. I do. But the relationship that's the hardest for me is with my sister, who actually lives locally. And when she recently, she was delving into Reiki for a while. And so
I sent away for, and I gave her a little brochure, and she kind of laughed it off. She thought it was the silliest thing that the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops had issued a statement against it. And so it's kind of a strain on our relationship, and I'd like to have your advice about how to have a decent relationship with her, but not completely ignore the subject.
Right, right. Well, I've got some ideas. People call in with that because it's a common question. You're not alone in facing that particular problem, Diane, that with so many people, unfortunately, haven't fallen away from the faith. Many people face that you love God and you appreciate the faith now and you want to share it with them, and they just aren't open. So a couple things that we need to do. One is use small openings, but don't try to put, you know, an apple in the size of the, you know, the little pea, you know, or something like that hole. If they have a little opening, they just might be open to a comment of just something very, very simple. Like, wow, I read something about that recently, and it was fascinating. Mm-hmm. And just stop. Just say, oh, that's such a good question. You know, when I was, when I was coming back to the church, I learned a lot about that.
Mm.
And then stop. But then another time in a conversation, you could say, you know, I read a real interesting article about that, and do you want me to send it to you? And then you give him the choice of yes or no.
Okay.
So start first with just participating in the conversation without asking them to love what you love.
Mm-hmm.
And then open the door a little bit more because then the topic might come up again, you know, those little small openings, and the door opens if you haven't, like, hit him over the head with it the first time. Would you like me to send you this article? And if they say no, they give you that's just respect that. Then a few times later, the next time you're, it comes up, you know, a topic of the faith comes up, say, you know, I'm surprised that people don't know that, but I went so many years not knowing that myself. But now, here's what I learned about it. And then be able to just hear very, very gently, but ask permission first. So use small openings, ask permission, express your surprise at learning it when you learned it, or at not knowing it when you didn't know. And that makes it more personal to you than an attack for them. And those gentle steps open people up a lot better.
That's wonderful. that sounds like good advice.
Okay, thanks for the call. Glad to be of help, Diane.
Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
This is The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. We'll be right back after this message.
You're listening to The Doctor. Come in, pull up a couch, let's talk. The Doctor Is In.
The Pi Missionaries are an institute of Catholic priests and brothers who dedicate their lives to the mission among non-Christians in 17 countries. They're creative in their missionary presence, proclaiming the gospel and promoting understanding among religions and cultures. Pi has had a presence in Southeast Michigan for over 60 years. From their headquarters in Detroit, they collaborate with the Archdiocese in serving the local church, expressing their missionary spirit. You can learn more about the Pi Missionaries at pineusa.org or look for them on Facebook.
As we resolve to serve our families better, perhaps it's time to sit down and talk about the issues surrounding medical care and estate planning. We should make sure our health care priorities are in line with Catholic Church teaching. A wonderful resource is Jerry Bartholomew, a pro-life Catholic attorney and graduate of Ave Maria School of Law. Jerry has a passion for protecting families as they get older. The number to reach Jerry is 800-475-1729. The website, mypriorityplan.com.
The Ave Maria CD library continues to grow. With New Age teachings and deception being preached in popular media programs and the press, we broadcast the Deception of the New Age Conference. The speakers were Human Life International's Father Thomas Eitenauer and former Hollywood actress, New Age teacher, and Catholic reaver Sharon Lee Gigante. The 3-CD set is $28.50. Father John Ricardo has a number of New Christ is the Answer program titles, including A Proposal for 2010, Mary, Monica, and My Mother, Kings from Slaves, and Living as a Catholic. All editions of Crest in the Afternoon, Catholic Connection, Christ is the Answer, Putting on the Mind of Christ, The Doctor is In, and Heart, Mind, and Strength are also available. All single talks and programs are on high-quality CDs and are $9.50 each. To place your order for one of these titles or to inquire about a talk topic of interest to you, call 734-930-4506. 734-930-4506 or write orders at AveMariaRadio.net.
Where you can get free friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Here's the number, 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to get on today's show. Those of you in the Philadelphia area, I'll be out there next weekend, October 16th. I'm doing a spiritual spa up at St. Catherine's up near Horsham, Pennsylvania. So hope to see you all there, everybody in the Philly area. Beautiful ladies, one-day retreat on Saturday, October 16th. We'll get to our callers now. Here we are in our last segment. Got lots of people that need help and some that want to make comments. Linda from Ohio, you're next. Welcome to the show, Linda. How can I help you today?
Hi. Thank you, hon. I've got a 77-year-old sister, a 6-year-old granddaughter that I'm raising, and a husband. My sister's husband died a year ago in April, and I have been with her every day. What is my obligations to her as a sister?
Okay. Go ahead.
My husband's been a jewel, but he's getting a little tired of me being away all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we don't have anybody else. It's just us. I mean, she lives in her own home, but she won't cook for herself. She won't do anything like that for herself.
Ooh, how come? Is she incapable of doing that, or she just refuses?
She refuses. She did have eye surgery because she didn't need a cataract removed, and I've been putting that off and putting it off, and he's been agreeing with it. And now she's got that done, and she's seeing better, so I'm hoping things will be better.
Good.
But it's like if I'm not there every day, she sits in the car and waits for me all the time, or she'll sleep in the car.
Oh, my.
And
okay. Yeah, you don't want to. Marriage is the priority. You want your husband to be, you say he's been very good about it since she's needed you so much, but you can't abandon the marriage for your sister. How far away does she live, Linda?
It's about a half an hour away.
Okay, yeah, that takes some time. All right, I might suggest that you do is start weaning off of the daily help and seeing her a couple times a week so that you can spend more time with your husband during these, hopefully, retirement years that you can spend some time together. Or if he wants to come with you some of the times, do that. And see if she can get some assistance just from somebody who would visit her from her neighborhood, call the local parish or the local senior center. There are people that could help her expand her vision of life a little bit in her older years, and it would give these other people an opportunity to help out. If they would just check on her once a day, or maybe the Meals on Wheels people would come in to bring her the food that she needs. And the people that work in these different services are wonderful people that would love your sister as you do, and then you wouldn't be abandoning your husband as much. So I'd check into some of the additional help that she can get and set those up for a few times a week, and then you come maybe 3 days a week and see how she responds to that and give her a chance to experience the generosity of other people and give other people the opportunity to do that for her.
Okay, that's a good idea, but she is so hateful.
Oh, my.
She is so bitter. I mean, she feels like she's been abandoned by her husband. She keeps asking me how she gets him back, and she's not lost it completely. She does need friends. People try to be friends with her,
mm-hmm.
and she's just so... My granddaughter, I'm raising her because my daughter died, and she's six.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get the two of them together, she cusses the baby, and she's really... She doesn't... You talking about the Lord. She gets mad at me if I go to church, but I've made that a priority. Mm-hmm. Every Sunday I go to church now. I didn't for a while, but I am now.
Good. Well, you know what? Now that you're going to church regularly, why don't you pray for your sister? Pray that she will experience God's love in her heart, and then follow those other suggestions. Okay?
Okay, right. And I appreciate this, and thank you.
Okay. Thanks
Bye-bye.
For the call. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is The Doctor Is In, and our next caller is Amy from Michigan. Amy, you have some comments about the elderly Alzheimer's lady's comment earlier. So go ahead. You're on the air now.
Yes. Thanks. Just had a couple of thoughts or comments on that. One, that the
woman who was working with her mother-in-law on going to confession and her
right.
her feeling she hadn't been or hadn't mm-hmm. been forgiven. Maybe it would be helpful to, you know, depending on who she knows, to see if she can seek out a particular priest that could really be especially helpful
mm-hmm.
and make a plan, you know, with that priest to,
yeah.
to take her mother-in-law for confession. Sometimes it's just helpful, you know, someone who really has that particular gift.
Yes, exactly. The patience and the understanding.
Right. And then my other thought was just in the thought of the elderly woman with, you know, Alzheimer's or dementia, that she might very well be kind of reliving something that's really far in the past,
mm-hmm.
that's really just still, you know, still torturing her conscience, whether or not she's already confessed it. And maybe it's, you know, if this woman felt comfortable doing that, to try to maybe open up that conversation and see if she would open up to, you know, what it is that's upsetting her so much.
Good point. All right.
A couple of thoughts that might help.
We appreciate that. Thanks for the call, Amy.
Okay. Well, thanks.
Bye-bye. This is The Doctor Is In, where you get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess today. And our next caller is Dan from Ohio. Welcome to the show, Dan. How can I help you today?
Oh, boy, I'm going through a divorce that's not of my asking, but I'm having difficulty with relating to God during this divorce. It is the laws here in Ohio are pretty strict, and we were married 32 years, and majority of those years my wife didn't work. Our priority was to raise our kids.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening at this point is, because she didn't work full-time, the court's not requiring her to work full-time, but yet is requiring me now to support her financially, which I don't mind doing, but the dollar amount is phenomenal, and it's for the rest of my life.
Wow.
And I'm having a very hard time dealing with that without turning to anger at God, because it's totally out of my control. I've seen men who have turned totally away from God in situations like this, but yet, in my core value, that's not who I am. I'd rather run to God,
yeah.
but I don't even know where to begin.
Well, actually, it's more the devil's fault than God's. The devil's the one that hates marriages. So if you could turn that same set of anger against the devil and sin and Satan's desires to harm families. I remember when I was at the Theological Congress on the Family in Rio de Janeiro with Pope John Paul II, one of the cardinals that was speaking, no, actually Pope John Paul II himself, he said that Satan, who cannot attack God himself, attacks God's dearest possession, the family. And so when you see that this is the devil out there prowling. When you say the St. Michael the Archangel prayer, prowling around, seeking the ruin of souls, this is what he wants to do. And I think of your sadness. I mean, my parents, I don't know if you've been listening to the show a while, but my parents were married 31 years. We had 9 kids, and they got divorced after 31 years. And it's horrible. I mean, it's still horrible every Christmas and Thanksgiving. And it's a very, very difficult thing when you get married and you want to spend your life with this person, and then when something gets so twisted that way, you know that has to be the devil that twists a person's thinking, that twists love, that diminishes it over the years. That's the devil you should be mad at. And being mad at the devil strengthens us and helps us. You said you wanted to run to the arms of God, and that's where you should run. He is the one who is full of consolation, full of mercy, the ability to forgive. Oh, how painful that is to do that, but the ability to even forgive your wife, to seek the comfort of God, to seek the wisdom of God and how to proceed through this. Because sometimes what we try to do, Dan, is to reduce God to human qualities. You know, what we perceive God to be is something that we know. So we think, okay, we can, you know, on certain talk shows where people air their problems, they have to blame another person for it. So we have a tendency to think that because God's in control of everything, this is his fault. Well, God isn't in control of sin. He's allowed free will. My mom said that was his biggest mistake. She said, God's only made one mistake, giving us free will. But God has allowed free will and sin enter the world. And because of the free will of whoever is all involved in our own sins, that God doesn't sit here choosing to, he's not punishing you through this. He's here to try to help in any way he can. And so how can you use this, Dan? How can you use this horrible situation of your divorce to grow closer to God? Well, one, go to him humbly. Say, Lord, first, forgive me for anything I've ever done wrong. Help me through this, and I can't live without you. You are all the strength. You are all the wisdom. You are all the goodness. You are all the love. And allow this opportunity, as horrible as it is, to let God love you, Dan. Open your heart to him. Let him fill you, and he'll fill you emotionally, intellectually, physically, spiritually. God will fill you with his love when you truly open your heart to him. Quit blaming him and ask him to let you experience the love that he wants you to know. Because with now this marriage broken up, the love that you're going to get is going to be direct from God rather than expecting it from the human person, your spouse that you pledged your love to for your life. So in this agony, consider his agony in the garden, his suffering on the cross. He died for all these sins so he can love you more. So open your heart to him. Quit challenging him on it and just open it to him and give him your troubles, give him your emotions, give him the resentment, the anger. I mean, now you've got to work for someone who hates you? That's something to give to God. Who can deal with that themselves? Because you're suffering. Offer that to him. He wants you to experience his love, and he will give you the peace that you need. It's gonna take a little bit of time, but know that he will do it. He could do it instantly if he wants to, but most of the time, he gives it at the pace that we can handle it. He wants you to know his love. So use this tragedy in your life to turn to him, and in that tragedy, you might be able to get over that anger, be able to forgive your wife, the court system, everything that's treating you unfairly, and knowing that in God's time, whether it's here or in the next world, justice will be done, and you can experience his love with that peace.
That's a great perspective. I love it.
Oh, thanks. There are a couple books, too, from a priest called Jacques Philippe about interior freedom and interior peace. Those might be helpful as well. Here we are at the end of The Doctor Is In. This is Colleen Kelly Mast reminding you to be Christ to others.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO, Ave Maria Radio, is brought to you in part by our day sponsor, made in memory of Louis Denhaas Sr., born on this day in 1927. Louis was the husband of Intisar, the father of five and grandfather of 14. We will always remember you.
You can be a day sponsor too. Call toll-free 1-877-288-1077 and say, I want to be a day sponsor.
Hi, this is Teresa Tamio. Are you a Catholic business owner? Well, did you know you can actually get 24-hour-a-day online advertising targeted to Catholic consumers who want to do business with other Catholics like you? And did you also know that rates start at less than a dollar a day? Well, when you display your business in the CatholicBusinessPages.com online directory, you will be reaching Catholic consumers who want to do business with you. So check it out. Go to CatholicBusinessPages.com, enter promo code AMR, and save.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Ave Maria University warmly invites pastors, associate pastors, and deacons to our third annual Pastors Workshop Wednesday, January 26th through Friday, January 28th, 2011. The Pastors Workshop is a unique opportunity for men in pastoral ministry to get enthused and re-energized.